Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 12 of the Raiders Insider Podcast. This one is taking place over Thanksgiving week, and my pal, Fallon Smith, say hi, Fallon.
Hi, everyone.
Is doing us a huge favor. She's on vacation on the East Coast, yet is taking time to still do this podcast for me and for all of Raider Nation. Definitely appreciated, Fallon, and it's been a crazy week back here in Alameda. Defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. was fired on Tuesday, and they're playing a Broncos team that promoted former offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave to Broncos offensive coordinator. So it's going to be a crazy game on Sunday against Denver at Oakland Coliseum. And so let's start with the big news here, Fallon. Ken Norton Jr., gone after a 33-8 loss to New England. Your immediate reaction to it?
Can't say that I'm surprised, and I don't think anybody would be surprised about this, only because a couple of things. Number one, me and you previewed this season, right? And we spoke about them bringing on John Pagano. And we said, okay, what is John Pagano's role going to be? And honestly, I thought he was going to be the guy waiting in the wings,
right,
in case this defense did not pan out. And that is exactly what happened. Obviously, the defense has been horrid. I can argue, though, that the defense has been much better than anticipated, and the offense has been horrid, because they have been. But obviously, Jack needed a reason to make changes, and that was the easiest change to make. And he was the scapegoat. I guess, for a lack of a better word, or maybe he was exactly that, the scapegoat, because a lot of things haven't been going right in this Raiders team for this entire season. And we said, you know, it's going to be an easy transition. When the defense is having problems, John Pagano's going to slide right in there as the defensive coordinator, and that's been the plan all along, and that's what happened. But I have a couple problems with this, and my biggest problem is the fact that, number one, yeah, I get the defense hasn't been great. But you know what? Reggie McKenzie, and you know what, Jack Del Rio, you didn't do the best job of giving Ken Norton Jr. pieces to work with. You already knew the weaknesses of this team, which was the Mike linebacker position and the cornerback spot. And we already saw what happened with Gary and Conley didn't pan out. And obviously they had issues with the secondary, and Obi Melifonwu obviously hasn't panned out. And he just started playing again. He got burned this past weekend. And at Mike linebacker, you had to bring in Navarro Bowman, but you did not adequately address the needs of this defense, you know, and this is what you're left with. And you are basically falling on Ken Norton Jr. and saying that it's his fault. My whole point is, they needed to just show, you know, this is like a PR move, right? Show Raider Nation, we're trying to do something to change this. I get you're not happy with this 4-6 start, and you shouldn't be. So we're going to fire Ken Norton Jr. Hey, folks, sorry to tell you, Ken Norton Jr. isn't the problem.
Yeah, and really this, and Jack Del Rio did say that blame should be shared, and this was a way to kind of create a spark. And you brought up a great point there that this was the easiest transition to make. Todd Downing, still a rookie play caller, managing an offense that has definitely struggled. If you get rid of him, maybe too early, then you have Mike Tice calling plays and the offensive line coach. He's the only guy with play calling experience on this roster. Offensively, then you're basically getting the same type of thing because Tice and Downing have kind of fine-tuned Bill Musgrave's scheme. So that's problem A. And then problem B, and then obviously if you get rid of one of the lower level coaches, maybe it doesn't have the same type of impact. And John Pagano, who is known, I covered him when he was in San Diego with the Chargers as their defensive coordinator. He is a creative blitzer, something that Ken Norton didn't do very much of coming from the Seattle Seahawks school, where they basically play two different coverages and rush four. And when you have the Seahawks type talent, that gets a lot done. When you have the Raiders talent, where as again, you well pointed out that Reggie McKenzie and didn't give the coaching staff much to work with on defense, and the coaching staff didn't do much to develop those draft picks. Jihad Ward and Shalit Calhoun, I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I think for all those reasons, that was the shot across the bow. And at Jack Del Rio's press conference on Wednesday, he specifically said that nobody should feel comfortable. I'm not proud and I'm not accepting of anything that I've seen to this point. And he included himself in that. This is the first time that since he's been hired, that Jack Del Rio is really taking some heat. Now, do you think that that's also deserved? I tend to believe that it should be. That doesn't mean he's going to get fired, but I think it's appropriate that Jack draws some criticism here as well.
I mean, here's the thing. Jack Del Rio is a defensive-minded coach. He's been a defensive coordinator for how many years? He obviously was a head coach and didn't succeed in Jacksonville, but this is a guy who was a successful defensive coordinator for several years. And for your defense to be that bad, and, you know, obviously the thing that makes me, I guess, I would say laugh, in a sense, is the fact that he, Ken Norton, and also Reggie McKenzie were all pro linebackers.
Right.
And the fact that you thought, you know what, we can develop some young, you know, linebackers, you know, it's going to be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. You need to get somebody in free agency or draft somebody high, you know, as a Mike linebacker. And they thought they can, you know, develop these young guys, and obviously it hasn't panned out.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No, yeah. I mean, I was just going to say that I think this is just the beginning of what could be a major overhaul to this coaching staff. And again, they just gave Jack Del Rio a contract extension back in February. He's due a lot more money, guaranteed. But in terms of the lower level guys, we could see some shakeup there. And while Todd Downing, it really hasn't worked out for him thus far. And you and I have both said we expect him to make it through the year and have expected that. Yeah. I do think, though, for as much as the relationship with Derek Carr is strong and those types of things, if they finish the way that they're going, if we don't see improvement over the last six games, we could reach the offseason and they could just decide to overhaul the entire offense once again.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is why this entire season has been I don't want to say an anomaly. I'm trying to think of the word. We're basically, you know, been covering this team for how many years now, Scott? This is our fifth season, I guess. And I think that we thought entering the season, this is going to be the most talented offense that we've seen the Oakland Raiders have in recent years.
We
said time and time again that, you know, Todd Downing was handed a Ferrari and clearly he doesn't know how to drive that Ferrari, right? Because that's the facts. They brought in more pieces than they had a year ago, and it obviously hasn't panned out. And I think Jack Del Rio assumed, you know what, we're going to have better players, more talented players. Oh, it's going to be easy for Todd Downing to kind of like slide in there for Bill Musgrave and call plays, you know, easy peasy. But obviously it was easier said than done, and he has not done that. But at the same time, and I have said that time and time again, and I think that maybe me and you have disagreed on this subject, but it's also up to the players to execute. And you have had so many freaking drop balls from, by the way, a tandem with Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper, who are supposed to be one of the best, you know, receiver tandems in the NFL. And oh my goodness, you have Jared Cook leading the team in receptions, in yards. You know, and this is a tight end. And you have Michael Crabtree, Seth Roberts, Amari Cooper dropping balls that are right at the numbers. And I don't know, how can you blame that on, you know, Todd Downing? You can't. He's not out there catching passes. So there's so much blame to go around. I think that's the most frustrating thing for not only us, but, you know, Raiders fans, because we have no idea how we got to this point, how the Raiders are 4-6 right now with the talent that they have on the roster. It's kind of, you know, inexcusable.
Yeah, and it's so weird because last year they were so good responding to in-game adversity, meaning they would have some trouble, so they would get a big takeaway, or they'd have some fourth quarter magic and turn things around. And I think a characteristic of this year's team is not responding well to adversity. They didn't respond well when they got punched in the face back in Washington. They didn't respond well after they lost a couple in a row. And it seems like at this point, they're pressing so much to win that the in-game execution is really getting lost, and teams are figuring out, if we can prevent 60-yard touchdown passes or what have you, they're never going to be able to be consistent enough to work the ball downfield over the course of 12 or 13 plays and score points that way. The defense is also getting so few turnovers that the offense has to go the length of the field each time. And really all this pressure, I think, of being a sexy pick to challenge the Patriots or the Steelers or what, or even the Kansas City Chiefs, I think maybe that's gotten to them. When things started to unravel, they just didn't respond well. And ultimately, I think that that's a main reason why they are where they are right now.
Scott, they were 12-4 last year. They had the number 6 offense in the NFL. And even though the defense last year was suspect, right? And maybe they're even more, they're technically on paper more talented this year. Last year's squad had, what, 30 takeaways, 16 interceptions. We are entering week freaking 12, and they have zero interceptions. And what's crazy is you would think there would be a, you know, deflection here or two where they come up with a lucky one, right? But that hasn't even happened. Honestly, I have no really words to describe what is going on this season.
It's
because
crazy.
You and I both expected them to be much better than 4-6. And we said, you know, they're not going to be 12-4 because their schedule is much tougher. But they also, at the same time, with the talent that they have on this roster, didn't win the games that they needed to win and that they should have won. And that's, you know, what is, you know, I guess preventing them for me to even believe that they even have a shot to make the playoffs, even though mathematically they're still in this thing. But they haven't given me any reason to believe that they can make a run through this final stretch at all. And it's sad to believe because at the same time, they do have the talent on this football team.
Yeah, and really, in order to start this kind of big stretch run, if they're able to defy what they've done thus far, they're going to have to go through a Denver Broncos team that's lost 6 games in a row, still has a good defense, but as we talked about earlier, has a brand new offensive coordinator. They fired Mike McCoy earlier this week, former Raiders OC Bill Musgrave, promoted from quarterbacks coach, and he spoke to the Denver press today and really took a pass on what it meant to come back to Oakland after after his contract was allowed to expire. And that's what you would expect from Bill, kind of a quieter guy in front of the media. But you and I both know, right? He's going to be amped for this. He's really going to want to win this game.
Oh, no doubt about that. There's no reason. It's so funny because I love the Raiders fans because, you know, they were talking about Bill Musgrave being so vanilla last year.
Oh, they hated him.
And then, oh, they hated him. And now they want him back. Now they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you got rid of Bill Musgrave, Todd Downing, he's terrible, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? All I have to say is that, in my opinion, Bill Musgrave was a guy who was doing things his way, and nobody could tell him otherwise, not even Jack Del Rio. And in my opinion, and I'm, you know, I don't know if this is a hot take or what have you, but in my opinion, Jack didn't like that. Jack wanted to say so, you know, and Bill's like, nope, I'm running the show. Okay, you know, and so they butted heads, in my opinion. And I think that's why he was let go. And he was, at last year, the scapegoat, which is ridiculous because it's, you know, a number 6 offense. And then you keep Ken Norton Jr., who everyone thought would be let go at the end of last season. And he wasn't. But Ken Norton Jr. was a guy who Jack had control of, in my opinion, because he could call the plays. You know what I mean? And he could just say, yeah, he's still our defensive coordinator. But Jack had control of that defense. In my opinion, he didn't have control of that offense. You know, Bill Musgrave was stronghold in his position, and he was going to call those plays. And I don't think Jack liked that. And obviously, you're kind of seeing, and David Carr, not Derek Carr, David Carr, his brother, even went on a radio interview this week and said, look, I'm not speaking for Derek, but we love Todd Downing as a person. He's great. You know, he and Derek get along, but it's going to take some time for him to be a successful play caller in this league. And he even admitted kind of maybe, you know, wasn't right to fire Bill Musgrave right away. And me and you, and you have been a fan of Todd Downing, and you have said, look, this is going to be an up-and-coming coach in the NFL, but you have to give him some time. And I think the mistake that they made is, okay, maybe he's going to be a really good offensive coordinator in the future. But when you have a team that is as talented on paper as the Oakland Raiders offense is and was supposed to be, maybe you don't promote some guy who has never called plays in his entire NFL career. Correct?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's crazy to think that that two decisions, one to keep Norton and one to let Musgrave walk, that were made back in January could have a really legitimate impact on what's happened from September through December. And that's kind of where we are, that those coaching choices haven't really panned out in either direction. And while that isn't all of it, you nailed it on the head again, that players execute and they're not executing well enough. But coaches have a bigger impact in this sport than maybe any other, and they haven't been holding their weight. Maybe if you flip those decisions back in February, you're in a different position now. Yep. And that will be definitely on display as Musgrave is on Denver's sideline, and now John Pagano is calling plays for Oakland heading into Sunday's game against Denver.
But I'm before excited.
Me too. And I think it's going to be a really intriguing game. And a key player in that game is going to be cornerback TJ Carey, someone who took the time for an extended feature interview on the Raiders Insider Podcast. Please stay tuned for that. And Fallon, looking forward to talking with you and discussing everything that happens in this in that Broncos game. Of course, on Facebook Live, Raiders Central, as we always do. And again, next week on the Raiders Insider Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Raiders Insider Podcast feature interview with Raiders cornerback TJ Carey. And he's been a young guy on this team for a long time, but it's hard to say that anymore, man. Now you're a leader. Now you're a guy that plays every snap, every single Sunday, and has really been a rock for the secondary since the offseason program. You know, now that you're in this new role where you're no longer the new kid on the block, were there any influences that kind of helped you transition to this new role on the team?
Yeah, you know, through my course of being here going on 4 years, one of the big fortunate things is that I have role models and leadership values of people that I can look into on a daily basis. And, you know, the first couple years I was able to play with Charles Woodson, who was a tremendous athlete in himself. And he was able to do a lot of things as far as teach me the work ethic, teach me how to become a pro in this business. And so I learned a lot from him. And just then, you know, one of the coaches that really helped with me and Charles is Marcus Robertson, who is now with the Broncos. And he played in the league for a number of years. And his value to what he was able to bring to the table as far as the knowledge he gave us was very insightful. And, you know, coach, our once was defensive coordinator, Ken Norton, was always a big influence on wisdom, the knowledge of the game and what it is to become a man in this business and just a man in the values of what it really takes outside of football. So we had a number of feats, and, you know, I can't miss Rod Woodson. We got Willie Brown, you know, so there's a lot of people that I'm able to look up to and learn from on how to become a leader and the leadership traits and values.
It must have been great to have, obviously, coaches that have been all pros and Hall of Famers, but then you have somebody like Seawood who's in that same spot. And I've always thought, being a leader when you're winning every game, that's easy. But when you guys are going through a little bit of adversity, maybe that's kind of when your character really shows up. What are your thoughts on, you know, how your position group, how your defense, just how this team is doing. You're still in it, but you are going through some tough times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I think as far as the defensive standpoint, you know, we're not playing to the expectations of what we wanted, what we envisioned coming into this season. And, you know, we've been playing very poor in some games. And I think that is something that we continue to strive and work and learn from, more so because there's still a lot of ball left. We're still in it. And that's fortunate enough that we're still in it in the position that we're going through as far as our defense. And so, you know, our biggest deficit is to continue to make plays, continue to learn, and continue to put your foot on the pedal and not give up in this instance.
And I remember talking to you back during the summer, kind of you were playing aggressive, you were always in the right position, and you look at the stats now, you're allowing less than 10 yards per catch. You know, the yards after the catch is really low. Like, there's a lot of good numbers that kind of support the fact that you're doing the right things. Was there any point of emphasis this season? Was there anything that you really wanted to focus on, or was it just your natural evolution that, all right, you're at the point where you're playing confident and you're playing aggressive?
Yeah, you know, I think when you the more reps, the more time you spend in this league, you become, like you said, more confident. And with that confidence, it comes aggression with it. And yeah, that aggression and that dominant feeling that, you know, you're the best out there on that field, and you're supposed to play like it day in, day out, and game in and game out. And so I kind of take that approach every time that I step on the field. Is, you know, I feel like I'm the best athlete on that field in that given time. And that's just a level of confidence that I've been able to gain and learn from experience throughout my course being here with other players. So you take that and you bottle it up, and you go out there and play aggressive. And from that, you let the chips fall where they fall.
And, you know, it's the thing that I've always – has always impressed me about you is that you're from the Bay Area, and that obviously means something to you in terms of staying connected with this community. TJ Carey Foundation, I know you have a big kind of giveaway coming up. Yeah. Why don't you tell fans something
so,
about that?
So, yeah, I partner with WinWin, who's an organization who allow fans the chance to gain experience with athletes one-on-one through particularly donating to their foundation. And so, you know, one of the things that we wanted to really try and attack is me being able that I had open heart surgery in high school. That was one of the big things for me, is to always kind of give back in that instance of helping those kids envision what life could be after surgery. And so what we have is, if you go on my Twitter, my Instagram, there's a link that'll send you to the tournament. And what the tournament basically is, you know, we have a number of prizes, signed memorabilia, a chance to actually win a VIP experience to the Dallas Cowboys game. And what fans are able to do is, you know, we put a set value on each item, and each item varies from high to low, and it's something that every fan is able to experience. And what we're asking is a small donation for some of those memorabilia, which will go to the foundation, which will go to me helping with my partnerships with Camp Taylor, who is in heart disease organization, Oakland Children's Hospital, Darius Jones Foundation, all of these foundations that deal with kids who have various heart conditions and struggle from that. And so all of those things will kind of contribute to us really helping other kids to envision the struggle of having this surgery, but, you know, not only them having the surgery, but that they can still achieve an immense amount of feats and things that they dream of doing.
Yeah, I think you're a great example of it, because you had open heart surgery, and we'll get into the details of that in a bit, but then you didn't give up on your dream of playing football. You finished high school football, and then you end up in the NFL. Is that something important to you to, you know, the athletes are role models, saying we don't need to get into that, but do you feel like you want to be an example for kids who are going through that, to say, hey, look, I'm doing something athletic?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that, you know, we all go through certain situations, and some of those things are meant to be. You know, some of the things that happen in our life aren't a mistake, and some of those things are allow us to be a testimony and example for others. And so when I had that procedure, you know, the odds of me making it to this level were very small. And I think that a lot of the times, you know, a lot of youth in our community go through tremendous amount of struggles and barriers in life, and they feel that they can't come or overcome those barriers. And so just me being a prime example of being here and being able to do what I do every day, day in and day out, and love it, with going through open heart surgery is a testimony that I want to share and experience for everyone, because I think it's possible for everyone to still achieve the dreams of becoming who they want to become.
And we don't have to go into every detail of it, but you're a 14 or 15 year old kid.
Yeah.
You pass out on the field at a football practice, correct?
Football practice, yeah.
And they discover an issue with your heart. And was it just like a quick sequence of events that you ended up in the OR? I mean,
you know, I wish it was. It actually took us a full year, my freshman year, to really kind of diagnose the problem.
Okay.
Just because in that first year, the chances of kids having the particular procedure that I had was at that time 1 in a million.
Wow.
So it was a very small chance. And it was something that doctors weren't as familiar with. And so it took me a whole year, my freshman year, had the surgery sophomore year, took the whole junior year to recover.
Wow.
And then finally was able to play my senior year, and I had a heck of a senior year. And you know, all of those feats, it's not just me, you know, it's a community. It takes a village for a person like me to be able to overcome those things. And you know, tremendous family, friends, coaches. I'm a heavily believer in faith, so you know, all of those contributed to my success.
Yeah. And that's one of the— were you ever told maybe this football thing isn't for you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, the doctors were really, you know, they can never say never, but
sure.
Hey, you know, the chances of you playing national football is very slim to none, you know, and so, you know, you hear it all, and then you go into high school and, you know, coaches are now afraid to play you because they don't want that liability of you getting hurt and knowing the diagnosis. So, you know, there's always people around you that's saying that you can't do it. And I think that's what really pushed me to continue to want to.
Yeah, and really kind of end up from having to go to Ohio, because your junior year in high school is the big recruiting year.
Yes.
And then you maybe don't end up at a West Coast school or something like that, whatever you wanted to do. And then end up a 7th-round pick. And then you were starting your first year.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of gone from there. I'm sure that, you know, like, there's a scar, but do you really think about it much anymore? I'm sure now you're just—
all the time.
Really?
All the time, man. When I wake up, you know, I still live in this so real bubble of, I'm actually playing for the Oakland Raiders. You know, I'm actually back at home, you know. And every time I walk in the building, it's like an amazing feeling to see the shield, to see the patch on the helmet, to see, you know, all of the things that I envisioned of me doing at one of the prolific organizations that I thought it was going to be when I wanted to arrive. And so, you know, just watching Rod and Charles and, you know, all of those guys back when I were younger in high school, just saying, man, I can't wait, you know, for the day that I get my chance. And man, it's no coincidence that I'm here.
Yeah, I got to ask you one media type question. You are coming up on a contract year.
I mean,
you love playing in your hometown. It's a business, like, we get that. But in a perfect world, do you
stay perfect
here?
World, I would love to stay here, man.
Yeah.
I think that's always the ultimate goal, is to be able to continue to live this dream of being able to play for my hometown team. So, you know, without a doubt, this is the number one place that I want to be.
TJ Carey, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy in season, but I really appreciate you talking about this stuff. And one thing I guess I didn't bring up is that you do like to visit kids at the Oakland Children's Hospital and some areas around that could be coming up later this year as well.
Yeah, so within this next six-week period that we have left in the regular season, me and the organization are going to make efforts to go visit Parker Elementary and Oakland Children's Hospital to go out there and just hang out with some of the kids and show them that, you know, a guy like me who's had the procedure that they had still care for them and still know the struggles and can identify with them on the scar that they're going to have for the rest of their life.
Right. Well, TJ, that's great stuff. Again, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck against Denver and throughout the rest of the season.
Appreciate it, Scott. You have a good one.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.